Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Reading today from Psalm 24, the Psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands, and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. Let's come to him in prayer, giving thanks that he has made himself known, particularly as Paul writes to the Corinthians, shows himself in the face of Jesus Christ, showing that he is his son, and making himself known through him, and so loving the world that he gave him to die, to rise again, to be on his right hand even now, till his enemies be made his footstool. All of that is spoken of here, that he will be mighty in battle, mighty to overcome. Let's pray that he'll show himself mighty in the church to revive it, mighty in the world to awaken and save it. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in His name for all that has been given, all the blessings given, also the long-sufferingness. We think of the words of Peter, with our long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Because of it, we believe that Christ has not yet come back, when many would not be ready at Thy coming, Lord Jesus. And we think of ourselves, if Thou wouldst come before, we were made ready, even by Thyself, by Thy Spirit, according to Thy Word, that what a terrible thing it would be. And we give thanks for bringing us in before Thy coming again. And we pray that many might be brought in the present time. Again, that the church might be made one, that the world will know, Father, that Thou hast sent Christ, as Thou dost pray, Lord Jesus, again and again and again, those number of times, that we might be made one. We pray that we may not have to be made one by persecution, but that we might be made one, rather, by being revived. Revived in humbleness, revived in having our lofty looks brought down, as Isaiah could speak of it, that Thou would do that in Thy time, in Thy way, and we pray that it might be done for both the church and the world, that together we might know that we are sinners in Thy sight. We might, as Isaiah could say, he saw Thee high and lifted up, and he knew he was a man of unclean lips, and we pray that Thou would teach us that with Thy Spirit as well as Thy Word, that we might experience it with Him, and we might experience it like Him, and like the Corinthians, to have fervent mourning, and like the times of awakening and reviving that we have had in history, in the church, both in our nation, Europe, England, other places. We pray for where the church is alive now and being persecuted. We pray for them and for Thy blessing on them as promised. We pray also for the lukewarm church, that it might be awakened and called to repentance and not spewed out of Thy mouth. We pray, Lord Jesus, for the many things that we need in the church. We give thanks for Thy message to us, a complete word, a perfect word. And now we pray for Thy Spirit, who ordered it to be written, to open our hearts to receive it, to convict us, to lead us into all truth, and especially to take the things of Thine and show them to us. We pray for the needs also that are temporal, for those in sickness, injury, homeless, in war-torn lands, hungry, the broken homes, the sorrowing, the many calamities that are there, the awfulness of some that have experienced flood, earthquake, hurricanes, and the awfulness of the lies of war that are bringing a war that is wrong. We pray that many might see it among themselves and toward others. We pray, Father, for the children in the troubled homes, that Thou would teach them and not leave them to themselves or to the world, all through Christ. Amen. As we continue to think of that phrase that we read here in the last verse of this 24th Psalm, who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, He is the King of glory. Then we know who the psalm is talking about. Earlier he said in the 8th verse, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. We might wonder sometimes, is it talking about the Father? Is it talking about the Son? But we know and can believe, because of what we have been studying in Isaiah, and what Isaiah records in the 44th chapter when he speaks of the Lord, the King, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Two persons that are God. One describing Himself and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I want to continue that thought and study, that He who is the Lord of hosts, as we would think of it ordinarily, in that phrase, the Lord of many. Host, that's not one person, not even two. Host, when we say there's a host of people, we would say, oh, there must be a crowd, there must be a large number. And He is the Lord of a large number. Just think of, since his birth, how many have known about this Lord of hosts? What year are we in? We come into a new year, the year of our Lord, 2017. The year of our Lord, the Lord of hosts, known worldwide. Our calendar is described with him. All may not want to know that or submit to it, but it's true. It's true in our nation, though sadly we are turning away from him. We are turning away from him as our creator. We are turning away from him as our lawgiver. And we are turning away not knowing our great, great, great need of a Redeemer, both to be bought back by his death and brought back by his power. I have read in recent years and months the life of William Wilberforce from England, back a number of years ago, when it was used of God to bring freedom to the slaves. But when I read it, I think of what God did to one man, to him, and making him know his sin, making him know his worthlessness. When he was in the Parliament, he was a well-recognized person. He was doing much, more than probably some other people. But he came to see the worthlessness of his life, the waste of it, saw it, and then knew that his only hope was in another, in Christ, the Lord of hosts. He could be numbered with those who had believed through the years before and through that time as well. Probably a greater percentage in England that believed then than now. He could find many to have fellowship with. We're in a day of dearth. As Amos said, there would be a famine, not of bread, but of the hearing of the word of God. We are in a day when, as Paul said, they will not endure sound doctrine. The doctrine we have today in the churches in our city here, Jonathan Edwards and those with him at that time were fearful when that was there. Jonathan Edwards preached against it, what was called Arminianism. Came to the surface with a man named Arminius, a Dutchman, back in the 1600s, that was surfacing and headed what they called a Senate of Dort and decided against his errors. And those were put out of not only the church, but sometimes wrongly out of the nation. And I don't think that is the business of the church to say who can be a citizen of a nation. We can say and should say, who can be in the church? Paul showed that very plainly when he wrote to the Corinthians to put such a one out, to deliver with such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And that man evidently did, in that discipline, come to repentance. Paul was serving the Lord of hosts. And those people, when Paul wrote to them that first letter, which he wondered afterwards if he should have wrote it. He even said, I repented. But then he says, I do not repent because of what effect it had on them. Read that letter to the church at Corinth, the first letter. Called them babes. Called them carnal. Called them puffed up, proud. Right where we are today. At the best. The worst. We're like the Laodiceans. Even more blind. More proud. Than those Corinthians. The Corinthians did repent. We don't read that the Laodiceans did. And history tells us that church faded away. They evidently were spewed out of Christ's mouth. The Lord of hosts had his own. But some are not numbered among them. We sang, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. We are the clay. Many do not like what we read about God as the potter in Romans chapter 9. Don't like to be told that we are the clay and that he can mold one vessel unto honor, another unto dishonor. Do you know that we have all molded ourselves in dishonor? Everyone? Everyone. You included. Psalm 14, Psalm 53, Romans 3, the New Testament church. Paul adds to the psalmist, or agrees with the psalmist, and said, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. I've said it many times, but I'm afraid that few in our audience believe it. Have you heard it? Have you believed it? Have you come to repentance? Have your lofty looks been brought down? Or do you think you're a Christian because of what you did? In a difference than what others did. That's not the difference. It's the difference in the potter. It's the difference in the Lord of hosts, who he makes part of his host. Vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor. And let me repeat, we all begin as vessels of dishonor. We all begin as David in the horrible pit, Psalm 40. We all begin as Paul, breathing out slaughter and threatenings. As he said, writing to Titus later, hateful and hating one another. Deceived. Paul's past. And even the good things that God gave him. And the area he grew up in. What he had been taught. Calling himself a Pharisee. Called it the strictest sect of the Jews. But he said, in regard to all of those blessings, yes, they were blessings. They were given more truth than others. But he said, I count them all but dung, that I may win Christ. Though God may give some more knowledge, many people today have the scripture, and many do not. Many have the truth preached, and many do not. I just had a letter from a woman, radio audience, hasn't been to church lately. I say it carefully. She said, it's terrible when you feel worse when you leave the church than when you come. It can be true. It was true in the time of Jeremiah. He said, stand in the gate of the temple and say, this is no longer the house of the Lord. The people were saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord is this. Jeremiah says, no. Others said, smite him on the mouth. Don't listen to what he's saying about our temple, about us as a people. What did John the Baptist say when he came to prepare the way before Christ? Generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come. That was their lot. Christ added to it, generation of serpents. How will you escape the damnation of hell? Not to the people that came to the church once a month, to the leaders, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. That's where they were. When Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he says of Israel, they're an example to us. Don't lust as they lusted. Don't murmur as they murmured. Most blessed. Complaining. That's where we are today. What a complaining we have in those who are on the losing side of our election. Terrible. Think it's going to be awful ahead. What is God going to do with us in the future? What will God do with us of the past? What will God do with the 50, 60 million babies that have been killed lawfully, so-called, breaking God's holy law, and we say, it's lawful. It's a woman's right to kill that which God has placed in her womb, and a man has placed part of that baby in her womb. Just want to call it her body. Not so. David wrote another psalm. Thou knewest me before I was formed in my mother's womb, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. He knew, David, seed was planted, the little child, and the child began to grow. Soon the heart began to beat. Now we still argue. Oh, there's no life. No life till after birth. The Lord of hosts has a host of dead babies that we'll give account for. And if you and I don't repent, and I'm saying it of myself, we might say we don't agree with those that want it done, but what are we doing? Are we just simply that silent majority? Shame on ourselves. Part of what Isaiah says, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression. And coming back to those who are losers and justify themselves, when we say we can't vote for murderers, we didn't want a murderer to be in the White House, you wouldn't want a murderer in your house. I've dealt with hundreds, if not thousands of people. Many have sinned. Some have tried to get the best of myself and other things that were done in our family, our business. But we've only had one that's in prison for life. One. He killed our son. He's in prison for life. He's a murderer. First fought against it for years and years, 17 years, denying it, finally admitted it. Only one in prison. But we've had women in this church that have told me, I killed my baby. She can walk in a church free. She can walk in and out of any place in this nation free, though a murderer wed that man. I killed my baby. And if you have killed your baby, confess it to God. Repent. Submit to God. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for change of heart. Don't go on hard-hearted. And if you feel like that woman did, terrible, I killed my baby, continue to repent till you know that the Lord of hosts has forgiven your host of sins, that one and many more. David said, more than I can count. There can't be too many sins to forgive. Paul said he saved the chief of sinners, himself. David had more than he could count, more than the hairs of his head. He says, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. All of that is in the Scripture, and how thankful we can be for the Scripture. The Holy Scripture gives us the message of creation, how God did it, how long it took. He spoke, and it was done, and it was good. Just like that. He, who later came down to earth, 4,000 years later, he was there with the Father. Let us make man. That's what Moses wrote. That's what they said together, the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit breathed upon the waters. The Holy Spirit was there, and there was light. Creation. If it came by evolution, when did night and day begin? The difference. When was the dark and when was the light along the way? Of all what those liars tell you, those proud liars that think they know, when they have to admit it's a guess that's changing all the time. Always changing. They don't know. They don't know how long, but we do. In 6 days, God created the heavens and earth. Isn't that good enough for you? Isn't that plain? Don't you know English language or Dutch language or German language or Chinese or whatever your language is? Your Bible will tell you. Your translation will tell you. Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, and hundreds of other places in the Scripture, both in the Old and the New Testament. Think again of even another psalm I referred to, Psalm 139. God knew David before he was formed in his mother's womb. But thinking of Psalm 100, listen to the words. It is He that made us, and not we ourselves. It's also He that told us, and we don't know. Theories aren't facts. Theories are guesses based on a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but not facts. As soon as it's a fact, it's no longer a theory. It's proven. Psalm 100 says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God, and is He that made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." If we would have read the psalm before, the one we read Psalm 24, Psalm 23 would tell us, "The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me in the green pastures." Here, the psalmist says, "We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." Paul said to the learned Athenians, Mars Hill, "It is in Him that you live and move and have your being. And it's to Him that you are going to give an answer the day of your death or at Christ's coming, whatever is first." They're coming. Lord of hosts is coming. He's coming to gather in His host. He's coming to separate the sheep and the goats. He's coming to open the books. He's coming that every eye will see Him. He's coming on the clouds of glory. He's coming with a trumpet. It's going to be an amazing day, a wonderful day for those who know Him, who have known their need of a Savior. As we sang last week, there is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. The name of our Savior. Know you, who it is. And here, listen to the last stanza of this song. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy Spirit, then all shall see Christ only, always living in me. We need to be revived in the church to have that always, always, always. We're too disobedient. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, God tells us through His Scripture. Come to Christ. Come in repentance. Come as a little child. Come asking for forgiveness and to be made His child.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord.